Well, good morning, everybody. That's a little bit of Rhythm from Heaven. That's what that's called. Nice to have you with us on the Panic Podcast for a Monday. I sure hope that your church service yesterday was as great as ours was. And I'll tell you about it when we get started. In the meantime, get your Bibles, get them opened up to, Romans chapter 1. We're going to begin a new series that'll run for a couple of weeks on the gospel in Romans. So Romans chapter 1 is where we start, and we will start in just a second. That is from a CD I have called Jazz City After Dark or something, and it is a Christian album of, faith-based jazz songs. I don't know. It's really nice, though. Folks, it's good to have you with us. I want to tell you about our service yesterday, which was just, as I say, just so good. I barely preached. That's how good it was. We do a thing... we've been doing it all summer long. It was my wife's idea. She's obviously the brains behind the operation, you know. And we call it, I Love to Tell the Story. And about three Sundays a month, a member of the church comes up and shares their story, their testimony, maybe how they got saved or something that the Lord did for them that, you know, whatever. The idea is that everybody has a story, even people that, you know, were never into drugs or alcohol or adultery or prostitution or violence or gang activity or whatever, just regular people that lived decent lives. They got saved. They even have a story to tell. And I've been pastoring this church for 21 years, and I cannot believe the things that I'm learning about from some longtime members, things I had no idea about. And I know these people really well, and they know me well. I mean, after 20 years, you can't help it, right? But this has been such an enriching experience. I love to tell the story. Well, we had a lady, a member of the church, as I say, a longtime member of the church, as long as I've been there. Her family have been members, and just, I mean, lovely, lovely people. And I thought I knew everything about her. We're close to this family. Her husband passed away a number of years ago, and he was just one of the nicest, most charismatic men I've ever known. And his wife is just the model, you know, Christian woman. Anyway, she gave her what was supposed to be a 5-minute, I love to tell the story. Everybody gets like 5 to 7 minutes, you know. Well, she took 17 minutes, which I was not surprised about that because, you know, she's filled in for me behind the pulpit before. And, you know, I deliberately shortened up my sermon in anticipation of her story. But I was touched, and the whole congregation was touched by her story of the Lord's work in her life and in the life of her family. And as I say, you know, I know the whole family extremely well, both my wife and I, and we were just completely bowled over by her story, her testimony. I say this to say that you have a testimony too. I don't know what it is. It's not going to be the same as this person's testimony. But you have a testimony, and you should never be ashamed to talk about the good things that God has done for you down through the years. So it was just, you know, the presence of God was so strong in the service yesterday, and I barely preached. I preached for like 15 minutes. Best sermon I ever preached, that's what somebody said. Yeah, I got a great congregation. Okay, we're looking at the gospel in Romans and Galatians. And this is a very interesting topic. I've developed these notes over the many years in my ministry, and had a young man fairly new to the church asking about how does the Word of God save people? And he asked this a couple of weeks back, and I wanted to say, well, if you just hold on a second, you can listen to the podcast. But I had to spill the beans and tell him what it's all about. But that's basically what we're going to talk about, the gospel of Christ. Now, when I say the gospel of Christ, I'm not referring to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. In fact, when Paul wrote Romans and Galatians, there were no gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The gospel is the good news of Christ. And the good news of Christ is found from, from Genesis to Revelation. I mean, it's all through the Bible. So when the Apostle Paul talks about the gospel in any of his letters, he's referring to the whole story of Jesus Christ, all right? The good news of Christ, the good news of the Messiah. The good news of the Messiah has the power to save from sin, to heal, to deliver, and to transform lives. Nothing changes lives like the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is a message. It is a message of good news to the hurting, the helpless, and the hopeless. The Apostle Paul experienced the transforming power of the good news of the Messiah in a life-changing way when Christ met Paul on the road to Damascus. And Paul then went on to carry a powerful message that influenced the first century world and which continues to challenge and influence our world today, over 2,000 years later. In Paul's letter to the Romans, he focuses on the significance of the gospel, and he presents it as an antidote to the sinfulness of humanity. He succinctly states the universal problem of sin that necessitates the universality of the gospel. Yes, the Word of God addresses anything and everything in your life, because all men are sinners. The Word of God is for all people, not just people in the West, but people all over the world. In the same vein as Romans, Paul wrote a letter to Galatians before he wrote Romans. A lot of people look at Galatians as kind of a rough draft for his magnum opus, his letter to the Romans. And in Galatians, he addresses questions that arose in the church concerning salvation, other things. Is faith in Christ sufficient for salvation? That was really the big question that needed to be answered for the Galatians, because false teachers had said, Christ is important, yes, but you also have to keep parts of the Jewish law in order to be saved. And so Paul, in Galatians, puts forth this magnificent defense that Christ is all you need for salvation. And so we're gonna be looking at those things over the next couple weeks. Well, let's begin. Let's take a look at Romans chapter 1 and talk about how the gospel, the Word of God, brings people to faith. And remember, when Paul talks about the gospel, he's not talking about Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. He's talking about the totality of the good news surrounding Jesus Christ. All right? Now, let's begin. Let's take a look, first of all, at Romans. Oh, I'm in the wrong book of the Bible. That's not a good way to start off a Bible study. Romans chapter 1, verse 7. Let's start off looking at that. Well, we better read like verses 1 to 7, we have to have context, right? Now, I'm reading from the Good News Translation. From Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, an apostle chosen and called by God to preach his good news, or his gospel. The good news was promised long ago by God through his prophets, written in the Holy Scriptures. It is about his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. As to his humanity, he was born a descendant of David. as to his divine holiness, he was shown with great power to be the Son of God by being raised from death. Through him, God gave me the privilege of being an apostle for the sake of Christ, in order to lead all nations to believe and obey. And this includes you who are in Rome, whom God has called to belong to Jesus Christ. And so I write to all of you in Rome, whom God loves and has called to be his own people. Now let's stop there for just a second. To all of you in Rome. Notice, first of all, that Paul addresses his letter to all believers in Rome, not just some, but all the believers in Rome. In doing so, Paul is making it clear that the message of this letter is applicable to all believers, regardless of age, race, status, gender. The gospel message is relevant to all people, whether Jew or Gentile. This is particularly important in our world today, where we have become such a fragmented society. The gospel is applicable to all people, okay? People with purple hair, people that are not sure what gender they are, people who are suffering, people who are suffering problems of their own making. The gospel is for everyone. All right, please understand that. This is so important to grasp. Everybody deserves to hear the good news about Jesus Christ. Now, what they do with the message of Christ, that's up to them. But everybody deserves to be told, and Paul's going to deal with this in a few minutes. Secondly, Paul emphasizes that the recipients of this letter are those who've been brought to faith, and as such, are loved by God. And so I write to all of you in Rome whom God loves. Yep. Paul is writing to to people who hold a special place in the heart of God. They are the beloved, as the King James Version would say. All right, that description underscores the relational aspect of the gospel. Once the message is received and appropriated, a relationship with God begins. The gospel of Jesus Christ, if you will allow it to, puts you in a relationship with the Creator. That's how powerful the Word of God is. Thirdly, the people to whom Paul is writing are called people. Did you see that? Whom God loves and has called to be his own people, or called to be saints. All right? So Paul is writing to people who are in a relationship with him to fulfill a purpose and a mission. God has called. God calls sinners to be saved, to enter into a relationship with him. But there's more to the calling than that. God calls us for a distinct purpose, to fulfill a mission, right? All people who are saved are on a mission for God in Jesus Christ. Once a sinner responds to the call of the gospel, they become people of purpose, a people chosen by God, set apart by God to manifest his power and his presence to a sinful, dying world. And fourthly, Paul is writing to people who are called saints. Now, the Good News translation simply says God has called people to be his own people. That is a translation of the Greek word hagioi, or saints, and that's how most translations translate hagioi. The word means pure, holy, blameless, consecrated. Essentially, people who are set apart. That is what a saint is, and that's what God's people are. They are people who have been set apart by God. He has called them out of the world into a relationship with him, and they are set apart for a purpose. That is how special you are, my friend. If you are a born-again Christian, if you have heard the good news of Christ and you responded and you're born again, then you're saved not just to go to heaven, but you have been set apart for a very distinct purpose that only you can fulfill. Please understand that. You are important to God. At the very least, you are to become a disciple of Jesus Christ, which we talked about the last couple of weeks. But beyond that, there's something that God wants you to do. I don't know what it is. It's enough for me to figure out what God wants me to do and do it. But if you're saved, you are called to do something for the Lord. And again, at the very least, that is being a disciple of Christ and sharing your story with the lost world. Okay, let's take a look at the second part of verse 7. And let's read on down to verse 13. Keeping an eye on the time here. Okay, second part of verse 7. May God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ give you grace and peace. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because the whole world is hearing about your faith. Is that not a great statement? I mean, do you think Paul would write that about you or about your church or about the Christians in your town? I wonder, would he say that about me? First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because the whole world is hearing about your faith. Verse 9, God is my witness that what I say is true. The God whom I serve with all my heart by preaching the good news about his Son. God knows that I remember you every time I pray. Does that sound familiar? Because he said the same basic thing to the Thessalonians. Every time I pray, I ask that God, in his goodwill, may at last make it possible for me to visit you now. For I want very much to see you in order to share a spiritual blessing with you to make you strong. What I mean is that both you and I will be helped at the same time, you by my faith and I by yours. You must remember, my friends, that many times I planned to visit you, but something has always kept me from doing so. I want to win converts among you also, as I have among other Gentiles. That is such a powerful paragraph there. In his characteristic manner, Paul offers a wish for his readers, grace and peace. It's very common, and if he mentions that to the Thessalonians, I just realized that none of you have heard our series in Thessalonians, have you? I forget that most of you don't come Wednesday nights. You are invited if you live in the Wise County area. You are definitely invited to join us in church Wednesday nights, where we have begun an in-depth study in 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. Two very, very important letters that Paul wrote that most people are vaguely familiar with, but don't know all that well. The notes will eventually make their way up to the website. They probably will be part of the podcast at some point. But Paul offers his readers grace and peace. Now, of course, grace is the way of salvation, but it's also the means by which the Christian life is lived, and the source of perseverance and strength to carry on the gospel message. You are saved by grace, but you're to live in grace as well. That's a powerful, powerful word. And you receive this strength. Think of grace as strength. You receive this from the Lord. His grace enables you to live a life that is pleasing to him and meaningful to you. And also a life that may be used to win others to Christ. So you ought to be praying for more of God's grace to be at work in your life. As I say, it's a power that is available to all believers. Peace is a very interesting word. It's a well-being in your life, both your physical life, your inner man, your mind, and things on the outside, your circumstances. So when Paul wishes peace to his friends, what he's saying is that I hope that all is well with you, that you have no turmoil in your life. But even if you do have turmoil in your life, I hope you have peace of mind and peace in your inner man. That's a very, very large word in the Greek, and we get our word serene from it, or serenity, you know. And just think about that for a minute. That's what Paul wants for you. Very, very rarely do you live in peaceful circumstances all the time, every day. Life is full of ups and downs. Sometimes life is full of conflicts. And some people thrive on conflicts, other people don't. But rarely do you have a peaceful existence all the time, every day. But what's really important is not your outward circumstances, but what is inside. Okay, because you can look at the most serene image in the world, a person sitting on a bench by the seashore with nobody else around, and you look at that person and you think, boy, that person is just relaxing, listening to the ocean, the birds. I bet he doesn't have a care in the world. Yeah, but you don't know what's going on inside his head. Maybe he's going through a terrible time in his personal life. Maybe he's contemplating suicide. You don't know. It looks like he's at peace, but what's going on inside the man's head and his heart and his soul? Well, that word that Paul uses, the Greek word, also applies to the inner man. Paul wants you to be at peace inside, regardless of your circumstances, and that is a divine peace, my friend. It is not normal. When you're going through a bad situation, the storms of life have hit you, it's not normal to be at peace. But if you're a believer, you can be at peace. But you have to appropriate that peace that passes all understanding. Grace and peace come from the same source, God. In verse 8, Paul expresses his gratitude to the Romans for their faith, because he's heard about their faith all over the world. Now, bear in mind that Paul did not start this church in Rome. To our knowledge, he was never at Rome. I mean, he went to Rome as a prisoner near the end of his life, but he didn't start a church there. The church was begun by someone else. But he had heard so much about these precious saints in Rome that he thought it was important to visit them. And of course, over and over and over again, he tried to get there, and he never made it to preach to them. As I say, he made it to prison, but his heart's desire was to get there to teach them, to teach them some important spiritual truths. The thing I want you to notice here is that theirs was a faithful witness that was being spoken of everywhere. Such witnessing is necessary to bring others to faith. That's the power of the personal testimony, my friends. Okay, the quality of your life is very important. People need to see your faith in action, all right? A Christian should have a very distinct demeanor. So when a person sees you, watches you for 5 or 10 minutes, they should know, yep, he's a Christian, all right, look at that. They should know. Now, this is an important question you need to ask yourself. If a stranger watched you for 5 or 10 minutes, could they tell that you are a Christian? Is there enough evidence to convict you in a court of law? Josh McDowell used to ask that. Could someone bring you up on charges of being a Christian if they watched you for 5 or 10 minutes? This is what Paul's getting at here, but also something else, your testimony. Your life is a testimony, but so are your words. What are you doing? What are you saying to promote the gospel? And that's not always quoting Bible verses to people. Sometimes that's very appropriate. Other times, offering a word of encouragement, offering some wisdom, just helping someone out, being a good neighbor, is a witness for Jesus Christ. You understand what Paul's getting at here? He heard about the sterling Christian character, about these precious believers in Rome, and he just had to sit down and write them a letter. Verse 9, Paul describes, another very important aspect of bringing someone to Christ. In verse 8, it was the testimony, you know. But verse 9, he says, God is my witness that what I say is true. The God whom I serve with all my heart by preaching the good news about his son, God knows that I remember you. When you are serving Christ, let me put it this way, it must eventually become, it may not start out this way, it must become a wholehearted commitment to service. To service, all right? For Paul, he was called to preach the good news about his son, about God's son, Jesus Christ. That was Paul's commitment. That was his service. Now, not everybody's called to preach the gospel like that, okay? In fact, most people are not. Most people are called to live good lives for Jesus Christ, lives that point the sinner to Christ, lives that are encouraging to the lost, and, well, say they're encouraging to all people. But that is all part of serving God. And wholehearted service means that you are ready to put in a good word for God should the opportunity arise. You must be ready at all times to bear witness for the goodness of Jesus Christ. That's one of the reasons why we're doing this. I love to tell the story in church. This generation of believers is terrible at sharing their faith. And part of it is the culture, that our culture is very sick, and our culture has become very intolerant. And very often, depending on where you are, you can't freely talk about Jesus Christ. You have to learn how to bear witness for him in clever ways that doesn't get you fired from your job or whatever. I say that my wife is in higher education, and colleges have become very intolerant of Christians. I don't know that you're aware of that or not. There are many Christians in her particular college, in administration, not so much among faculty, many, many believers, and they all have to be very careful at how they share their faith, but still it gets shared. You know, students are encouraged. They find the Lord. We've got students in our church simply because my wife lives a life that glorifies Jesus Christ. People are drawn to her. Really, they're drawn to Christ in her, and that should be the case for all believers. For all believers, just as in when you read the New Testament, Christ during his, especially during the early years of his ministry, the lost were drawn to him. Okay? He said, when I am lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. And part of that is fulfilled in you. That is, when you are doing your level best to live for him, people will be drawn to Christ in you. I cannot tell you how important that is. They're not drawn to you, so don't get the big head. But they're drawn to Christ in you. And wherever you are, you can become very deft at witnessing for Christ in a way that gets the gospel out there, in a way that they can understand in a way that benefits them. You don't always have to hit them over the head with your Thompson Chain study Bible, you know. And I see we've gone 30 minutes. Time to stop. Oh, my goodness. We will pick this up. I give you my word as a gentleman, as a scholar. We will pick this up exactly where we left off on Wednesday's podcast. All right. Until then, don't forget to look for the 3 Minutes with Mike daily devotional. As a matter of fact, I'm just getting ready to record next week's series of little devotionals here this morning before the rains come in. They're uploaded usually before 7 in the morning on Facebook, on Telegram, on my web page. They're shared other places as well. If you don't like Facebook, I don't blame you. Facebook has become a real toilet. You can download the free Telegram app, do a search for 3 Minutes with Mike, and you can join that group. And you can watch the daily devotionals as well as the video sermons every Sunday, all right? Maybe I can't do it today, but maybe tomorrow I'll post the link to the Telegram page, and that's really the best way to look at some of our videos. All right, well, let's close in prayer so we can be about our Mondays, the best day of the week. Heavenly Father, oh Lord, we thank you so much for your word, how it has changed our lives and how it changes our lives. We thank you for the power behind it. We thank you, Lord, that it leads us and guides us. We thank you, Lord, that the Holy Spirit takes your word and makes it live in our minds and in our hearts, making us better servants. Lord, I pray that you bless everybody that tuned into this podcast today. Just anoint their ears to hear you speaking to them throughout the rest of the day. Lord, we love you with all of our hearts. Help us to manifest our love for you by loving others with the same love with which we are loved by you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, all right, everybody. Go on out. Make it a great day. We'll see you tomorrow morning for our 3 Minutes with Mike and Wednesday for the next Panic Podcast. God bless you. See you soon.